Welcome to Wolf Den's Saturday set, where spring has sprung and we are back for another week. The good, maybe great horses are running. We have a cracker show lined up. So much to unpack. I think we just go for it straight away. King Zone, you ready?
Ready to rip in. Let's do it.
Just say hello to Fizzer. How are you, mate?
G'day, boys.
You don't look great today. You're a little bit under weather, are you?
A little bit under, but hopefully some winners.
But you always lift for the pack and the boys, so
hopefully.
Good work, mate. All right, let's get into it. So we're going to go to Caulfield. We've got a fantastic meeting at Caulfield. We're going to kick off with the Vane Stakes. 1,100 metres, Group 3, three-year-olds. It's a crackerjack race, and this race has a history of sort of finding good horses that end up being great. For example, Cylinder won it last year, the year before that, Giga Kick. Mm. So it's a good race. What did you make of it, King Zone?
First thing I want to say is this race meeting last year, 6 out of 9 favourites won.
Ooh.
So let's hope that that happens again and the bookies are on their knees. The other thing I want to say about this meeting is that the rail is out 9 metres, which I went back 2 years. It was 9 metres last year, 9 metres the year before, and it played pretty fair.
Okay.
So often 9 metres, it negates the leader bias. So I think it's going to be a pretty fair track there on Saturday and a good track as well. So let's get into this race.
We've got the AI screen up there as well to help.
Yeah, we've got the AI screen up there. First, I'll say Wonder Boy, which I'm against, bullet rating of 33. Strange race selection going from 1,200-metre Flemington straight win where it came off the pace to 1,100 at Caulfield. I just didn't think that setup would suit. Let's face the music. A couple of starts at Ballarat, gets the blinkers on. I think this horse has the most improvement in the race. I'm not overly keen on the race, but I'm definitely going to be on Let's Face the Music. 480, I think, seems about the right odds. Wouldn't be charging into anything. I thought the danger was number one, Blue Stratum.
Okay. King, Fizzer?
Yeah, tricky little race to dissect. I wish that Tarpaulin was racing in it, but anyway. Mate, I'm against King, so I'm going completely opposite. I liked Wonder Boy. I thought its run was really good down the straight. I liked its jump out. And I had number 3 Interest Point as second pick. I was against number 1 Blue Stratum in this race.
All
right. Didn't love the way it hit the line over 1,000 metres. And I think that Wonder Boy might get over the top of the speed horses.
Okay. Tell you what I don't like is horses dual accepting in 2 different states and then you don't have the running. They see where they draw. They see where the track is. It just
He's referring to Tarpaulin. So they did scratch Tarpaulin pretty early this morning.
Probably. I don't think they should be allowed to go that far with it where it gets to Thursday or Friday. They might have not scratched till Saturday morning. I'm not sure what the rules are. But
yeah, I think it is a bit of a hot topic. It's a great rule. Always is. But, I mean, Tarpaulin was even money in this race that you talk about and it's sort of $3.40, $3.50 in the Rosebud up in Sydney, which we're going to talk about in a second, but it just shows you that the quality of field in the Rosebud is a little higher than this, but I guess with the Rosebud, it's Colts and Fillies as well. So, you know, that brings in some other talent. But we've got to keep moving. We're going to go to the Fillies race down in Melbourne, the Quizette, 1,100 metres again. And once again, this race has thrown up some great horses over the years. We've got Bellinier Patina in 2020 and then 2018. Sunlight won this race and also won the Coolmore Stud Stakes, which is probably the race that most people who own a three-year-old want to win. Talk to me about this race, Kings.
Well, we've had another scratching in this race as well. What came out?
Arabian Summer,
which I couldn't split Arabian Summer and the now favourite Kyronagi, who I was on in the Blue Diamond. Kyronagi ran at Morpheville first up, sat wide, looked a good run. Deserved favourite, $2.90 I think is probably about the right odds. I'm not desperate to get involved. A couple that I'm going to have just a small play on. I didn't particularly like this race once again. Bellatrix Star, which is a New Zealander, number 2, had an injury coming back. Is good around the $19 mark. If you see any money for that horse, I'd be having something on it. And the other one is the Tassie horse, number 3, GG's Myth Truth, which is about $12, 4 from 4 in Tassie. So there's a bit of X factor there, a bit of different form, and I'd just sort of go that way with a bit of value, but no confidence. Fits?
Yeah, no confidence from me. Majority of the field were first up. Drifting was second favourite now. I think Kyronagi, it was really unwanted in the betting in Adelaide. It was like really iffy
in
the betting.
Very
like
easy.
It wasn't there at all. Ran a decent race, ran second, but something there says probably it wasn't fit first up and maybe it'd be fitted for this assignment. And if so, I'm with it. I'm leaning towards the favourite in this race. I think it's the one to beat for sure. And I had Drifting second pick.
Great work. Okay, we're going to move to the big race of the day, the PB Lawrence Stakes. The wait for age horses are back. This race has been won the last 2 years by Mr. Brightside. Mr. B isn't there this year, but Pericles is. Ran incredibly well in the Doncaster Celestial Legend. In my opinion, Pericles is the only horse in this field that could go on to be a weight for age star.
There you go.
And that's why it is favourite. What did you make of the race?
You like the money muncher, do you?
The
Pericles never wins.
Yeah, I think, yeah, sure. Yeah, but we'll, And now that I've said it could be weight for age star, it's probably got an even harder road ahead. But
well, Pinstripe ran second to Mr. Brightside last year. I thought there was two hopes in this race, Pericles and Pinstripe. I don't think there's any value there at the moment. I think, once again, the market is very right. I thought Pericles is around the $3 shout. I said should sit fourth or fifth.
Yeah.
I think maybe too sharp for them over 1,400. So I'm leaning towards Pericles. I'm with you. Pinstripe has had three jump outs, four from six wins, first or second up. So it goes pretty well fresh. 1,400, as we saw, flash home against Mr. Brightside, same conditions. So if they can make ground, which I'm assuming they can, I thought 550 was probably slide overs. It just depends on the track pattern, but not really a race I want to get heavily involved in.
Okay.
Fizz. Yeah, no betting race for me. Pericles came out top pick on the ratings, but it's not the type of horse I really want to step into at the $3 mark. Moonamek is airborne, but I think 1,600 back to 1,400 is a bit of a question mark at this stage. Jimmy the Bear was my third pick, and Kings has talked about Pinstripe. I didn't really like it, but there's something there because it's hard in the market.
Because it'll get too far back?
I don't know. I just didn't love its form. It hasn't been going very good, but, you know, it's first up and it's had a decent jump out and it's hard in the market, so I'm probably wrong.
Sweet.
No.
All right, we're going to move on. We're going to go up to Rose Hill, the Rosebud, so all these horses begin their path towards the Golden Rose on AFL Grand Final Day on the 28th of September. And as we talked about before, Tarpaulin, which was a bit of a winter star up in New South Wales, it's in the race. It's the favourite. You can see the AI screen up there. Kingzone, take it away.
Well, Tarpaulin's had three heavy track runs. I'm not saying can't win, but horses are coming off three heavy track runs. What do you think the track will be at Rose Hill, Fitz?
Only soft, from what I can work out. I spoke to a mate this morning. He said it hasn't really rained out there like we've had the rain on this side. So I was expecting heavy until I looked this morning and then I realised they haven't had much and it's going to be sunny tomorrow, so I think it'll be right.
I'm pretty keen on this race. Ladbrokes put up $11 Shangri-La Express, which I couldn't believe. I would have loved to have jumped into that, but I was sleeping. Now it's into 650, so I've missed the price. But I do think 650 is a really, really good price. Ooh. I can't believe how good a price Shangri-La Express is. Should go straight to the front. I think the 1,100 at Rose Hill is traditionally, you've got to be in those first two, any further back than four and you're in big trouble over the 1,100 traditionally at Rose Hill. Shangri-La's had two good trials as well. The other horse that I'm going to be on is Gatsby. It's been easy. I think it'll continue to be easy. It hasn't really got the figures that the other horses have, but I think with J-Mac on, rode it in a trial, has retained the ride, so he's keen. He's keen to still go with his horse, and he's a very, very good judge when he sticks with him. I think he'll slot across, sit second or sit third and be in the finish, but I am going to wait on the price. It's a race I want to get involved in.
Great. Fizzer.
Oh, yeah, very good. Mate, I thought it was going to be heavy, as I said. So originally I was with Tarpaulin, but I've sort of changed my mind now. So I thought Gatsby's trial was really, really nice. Brave One came out of the same trial. Looks to have a bit of ability as well. It was a bit raw and fresh first ever win. I didn't love the trial of the one Kings liked. I didn't like Shangri-La Express's trial, but maybe Gay does something different on race day and gets it to go to the front and settle. Other than that, yeah, Tarpaulin's in the mix as well. Very tough race.
Okay. Shangri-La Express has got a lot of weight. I think it's 61 or 62 kilos, but that's probably why we are getting the price we are. But 1,100 metres with 62 is a lot different to 3,200 metres with 62.
All right, Kingzone, can I get your official Saturday set? And I've got a sneaking suspicion there could be a little bit of Friday action.
Oh, we love a bank builder. I thought Saturday looked pretty hard. It was a weird Saturday set for me. So what I did, I thought, let's go to Friday and see if we can get a bit of a bank together so we can enjoy ourselves on Saturday with less pressure. So where I've gone to the synthetic at Ballarat.
Okay.
Tomorrow there's a horse called Takashima. So if you have a look at this replay on Takashima, this races over 1,000 metres at Ballarat on the synthetic, which is the same conditions As tomorrow, you'll see Takashima out the back there, and just look at what happens when Takashima gets up the fence. This horse has had three runs on the synthetic, over 1,000 metres for three wins. Also in this race is a horse called the top one, Rosala, which runs second.
Mm-hmm.
But watch Takashima get up the fence here.
In the Mr. Brightside colours?
Yes. And these exceptional sectionals over 1,000 metres at Ballarat. I just can't see. The horse has got more upside than the field. $2.10 in the market at the moment, I think, looks an attractive price. I would have this horse at around the 150, 160 mark. I know it got up the fence there, but still, it had a lot more in hand. Real keen. Official Saturday set tip. So let's continue on. I'm going to Doomben Race 2 now, number 2, Moulin Miss. This is a funny one because I'm not sure if the horse is going to get scratched. It doesn't have a jockey on at the moment. And there's two hopes in betting. They're both around the $2.10 mark.
Okay.
Both trained by Tony Gollan. One's Barbie Sitter, which got beat 22 lengths on a heavy track last start at Randwick and now is facing heavy conditions up at Doomben. So I don't know if the horse is going to run Moulin Miss. I'm going to put it in as official Saturday set at $2.10. I think it looks a good long odds on chance. So we'll come back to that. I'm not sure if it's running, but we'll move on.
Okay.
Let's go to Rose Hill. Race four, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Way to the Stars. Another one, Ladbrokes, looked like they put the wrong price up to me. They put up $8 and is into $5.50. But once again, I've been asleep at the wheel and haven't got on. Four from five first up, two trials, should lead from barrier one again. Looks a very good price still to meet the $5.50. I'll be charging in early.
Okay.
Then let's go over to Perth. There's a couple over there in Perth which I like. Race three, number three, Captain Pluto. I think anything $2 plus is a good price. Really impressive first up win over the 1400. Really strong late. Going to sit a bit closer too. Got back last time. I think we'll sit a bit closer and just going to be too strong late. Exceptional sectionals once again. One more. Belmont Race 4, number 5, Silver Eye. I believe Fizza just told me they put up 220, which I didn't know this morning. I would wait on that price. I'm going to say put that one on Best Tote and SP as I think it might get out a bit. Looked the winner the last two starts over 1,200. Back to 1,000 should suit and is once again going to be very strong late. So those are my five official Saturday set tips.
All right, fantastic. Let's keep the momentum up, young Fizzer.
No worries. I'm going to start in Caulfield. Race two, number 7, a horse called Rise at Dawn. This horse has been leading him up and I think it'll do the same this weekend. I think Caulfield first time will be no problem for this horse and everything leans towards it winning this race, I think. Then I'm going to head over to Perth as well. Belmont Race 2, number 1, a horse called Ginnivan, which has gone up about even money or something like that and maybe a little bit better. 1,000 metres, sticks to 1,000 metres. It's the only leader. It'll lead them up. I think it'll be heavy there on the weekend. They're talking about a lot of rain on race day. So hopefully straight to the front and too hard to catch. I'm with Kings Race 3, number 3, Captain Pluto. Great win first up, 1,400. The way it won, I just really like the authority that it won with, so I'm really keen to be on it. Race 4, number 5, Silver Eye, found it as well. Been on it its last couple, been a bit stiff to be run into Sentimental Bell, which has won its last three, and Deferred, which they have an opinion of. So I think this is its race to win Silver Eye on the weekend. I think it'll be winning. Then I'm going to go to Pike, Race 7, number 2, Sentimental Bell. I've talked about it. It's on fire, this horse. I think the heavy track suits it a treat. And I think it'd be super hard to beat on the weekend.
Thank you very much.
Like sir. It when we line up on a few.
Yeah. Here we go. We've got a couple. Oh, sorry, guys. I forgot about one. A little sneaky one. Doomben Race 6, number 14. It was about $10, I think, I took this morning. Adriel. Look, it ran behind a good one last start. It ran fourth. I think it gets a perfect run in behind the lead this weekend. And I think real good lightweight chance at good each way odds for the punters.
This episode is brought to you by our good friends at Ladbrokes. Join Ladbrokes today and support the show by using the code GALLOP. Take on the fun this spring carnival with the Ladbrokes app, loaded with the best racing features, including bet ticker, so you can see where the big bets land, yard comments to give you the on-course insight straight from the parade ring, and black book so you can add your favourite runners and get notified before they race. So take on the fun and Ladbroke it this spring carnival.
Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website. All right, it's time for me to read the A-team set, and I will do it as usual. Dan O, Rose Hill, Race 1, number 5, Dawn Service. He produced a Saturday class performance, winning by four lengths at Hawkesbury last start, and now comes to town for Waterhouse and Bott in a race where he looks to get easy control in front. Add to that, he almost certainly have a positional advantage over his main market danger, the first starter Autumn Glow. That's a bet for me every day of the week. Dream Team Matt, Doomin Race 4, number 3, Ivan's Hero. Third up now, with not a heap of speed, drawn underneath, finds a spot and can outclass this field. Smallly, you're going to like this one.
Mm.
Rosal Race 9, number 5, Fortune, $21.
Oh, wow. He loves tipping a roughie.
Yeah. Was caught wide on a fast tempo last start and did a great job to hold on until tiring last 200 metres. Back to 1,900 metres here, gets a nice soft draw to Map in first couple and ready to be in the finish at big odds at fourth run in Australia. Junior Matt, Caulfield Race 7, number 8, Arkansas Kid. Returns gelded after a Ford trial, looks to lob in the first four and be hard to beat with no improvement from last prep. I know that Junior Matt did the form this morning while at university, which is that's what you should be doing. He's got his priorities right. So very good. All right, it's time to move on. RI staking plan, there it is, if you care for it. If you want to put all your bets on at the start of the day, it's not a bad way to do it. I've sort of sifted my way through all the bets, and that's what I've come up with. Where do we move to next? Accountability. Here it is.
We got it right this time.
We didn't have punt. So we've changed pot. it to pot, which is what was requested.
Five.
Last week wasn't great. There's probably people out there watching.
Because you claimed you were in front last week.
Fizzer,
21%. Good effort, mate.
Yeah, you did really well last week. You were the shining light. It was a blackout early, and then we had three.
I just want to talk about that. You say it was no good, and I just want to talk about my staking. So, my staking plan is to win 200 with $100 that we put up on this. So I tipped four horses, and I tipped one winner, and it was $3. Off the staking plan, I won, say, $50. I won about 20-25% on turnover. But on paper, you look at them and go, oh, you know, it's not really that good, which you just said.
Yes.
But actually, you turned over $200 to win $50.
I was referring to the whole Saturday set, not just you. But the point you make there is
the point that I make, it's not wrapping myself in any way. It's that I really believe in that staking plan a lot. And from one winner out of four tips, you've still won 20% on turnover, which is, if I could win 20% on
it's incredible. Wow, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. No, great point, and something that we all need to consider every week and just go through the motions. Don't try and swing for the fences, because the good days will come, and when the bad days come, if you stay in control, they're not that bad. Here's the A-team set. Not a pretty looking picture, but they've only all had one throw.
Oh, they're accountable for their own.
They've only all had one throw of the stumps, and look, they're only losing small amounts of money, so they will be okay.
Well, when you're punting, you don't need many. You can tip 10 losers in a row, and you tip a couple of winners, and you're suddenly in front. That's the beauty of the punt.
You just got to hang in there. The whole set's winning, so overall. So we just turn up each week, and we just wait for those bad balls and hit them to the fence for four or six, and that's all you can do. Let's move to more accountability on the punter of the year, the best feature on the Woofdown app. That's just a little bit of an update there to show you
how things are going. Front.
Isn't it great to see Mark Cruikshank up there? Great work, Crookie. So probably the best feature of the app. You can go in there and follow all these punters when they put their bets up. It's great for community engagement. We've got a little special guest in here today to help us rev up for the spring. So the bird's in here, one of the founders of the Den. And I just want to talk a little bit about cups, doubles, and how you do the form for the cups, the Caulfield Cup, and then, of course, the Melbourne Cup. You're part of the generation when getting the cups, doubles was a way of life.
100%.
Something that just everyone tried to do to get themselves very much in the game.
Well, I was fortunate enough to get one.
Yes.
I bought my first property out of it, so that was good.
Right.
Paris Lane Jern. I'll never forget that day when Jern greeted.
You've always been lucky.
Lucky Adam.
So do you have a few pearls for us? I mean, I spoke to you off air, and they're pretty simple, your pearls about how you try and find the cups winners. And you've had a bit of success at it over
the
years.
Well, the Melbourne Cup I've won a lot of money on. Uh-huh. That's more so than the Caulfield Cup, but I've had a bit of luck on the Caulfield Cup. But I suppose, you know, things have changed over the years with the Caulfield Cup, with all the imports coming. But what I like to look at now, for this year, for example, would be horses that are having their second prep in Australia from overseas, not coming directly here and having the one start, going straight into the Caulfield Cup, like last year without a fight, having its second prep. This year, the horse I'm leaning towards is already the favourite, Faulkner Park. It's having its fourth prep. Mm-hmm. It's been here for years with Annamel Neesham. It's an Irish-bred horse. And I think it's going to really escape the handicapper probably with about 53.5, 54 kilos on its back. But the weights come out in about mid-September they come out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the horse that appeals to me at the moment.
So $15 with Ladbrokes.
$15.
You think that's pretty worth a nibble?
I'd probably like to see it run first up, you know, before I start taking any price, you know. You'd like to see how they're going.
Yeah.
But, you know, the way it won that race in Brisbane was very impressive.
Well, it's a carbon copy of what Without a Fight did last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, that's it.
Mm. Yeah.
And it won very well that day. And as I said, she's a very good horsewoman, Annabelle Neesham, and there's no doubt she has set the horse for that race, and she's very good at it.
So. A lot of people think that only big race trainers can train a Caulfield Cup or a Melbourne Cup winner. Do you think Annabelle Neesham fits that profile?
Well, she's had some good horses. She's had Zaki. She's had some great horses. She's a gun trainer.
Yeah.
I put her in that category of one of the top trainers for sure.
Yeah.
What lead-up races do you think, if you're looking for the Melbourne Cup, what lead-up races would you sort of have your eye on nowadays?
Well, naturally, the lead-up for the Caulfield Cup, I'll go this way. Underwood Stakes, Turnbull Stakes, their Caulfield Cup. Mm-hmm. They're also very good guides for your Melbourne Cup, the Turnbull especially. And then, of course, your Caulfield Cup is the best lead-up race for the Melbourne Cox Cup.
Cox Plate? What about Cox Plate?
Oh, Cox Plate's very good as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, some horses have run over the last 10 or 12 years. I think there's three horses that come to mind that would have run great races in the Cox Plate, being Green Moon, Fiorente and Gold Trip.
Yep.
Gold Trip arguably should have won the Cox Plate that year. Didn't have no luck at all. Mm. And they dropped significantly in weight in the handicap conditions of the Cup.
Weight a big factor when you're doing your Cup form?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Not many horses can carry the big weights.
You pen them completely, if say 57 or over, you'd be...
Well, I penned Gold Trip for that when it won with 57 because it only won one race.
Yes.
In its life and it had 57 kilos.
Yeah.
But I did pen it for that reason and I was totally wrong, as we all know. Mm. But, they'd have to be a pretty exceptional horse. Like Maccabi Diva carried 58 when she won her third. Mm. But she probably...
What a freak.
Should have had a bit more weight. Really.
Yeah, well.
All right, Bert,
that's
thank
how
you.
Good she was. Yeah.
Thank you for coming, mate. We're going to see you a lot over the springtime.
Absolutely. I'll be around.
Very good, mate. Looking
forward to
thanks
spring.
For that insight.
We all love spring.
Before we finish up, live streaming on Saturday.
Exciting.
Which will be fun. Yeah, so I think we're going to kick off at about 2:25, which is just before the Rosebud.
Till when?
And we'll go through till about 4:45, I want to say, something like that.
Okay.
That'll get in all the big races today. Now, the great thing, too, is where giving away free AI on Victorian races to everybody. You don't even need to be a pack member. If you've got the Wolfden app, you'll be able to access AI on Warrack, Nabil and Caulfield.
Mm.
And we'll be doing a live stream. The King's Own will be telling every single bet he has. It's a lot of fun. We shot the lights out last start and nothing would make us happier than to do it again. Last start was Stradbroke Day. So be sure to tune in for that. Moving along, so up on the screen now, you're going to see a thumbnail called Zero to Professional. So the King's Own, you put this little short, sharp piece of content together with Junior Matt.
Yes.
We whacked it up on YouTube last night. It's proved pretty popular. So yes. I just wanted to draw people's attention to it. We will put the link to it in the description. So if you want to go and have a look at that, it basically talks about the fundamentals that you adopted to take yourself from an average punter to a pretty successful punter.
It's just around staking and getting odds and a few rules there around bet selection. But go and have a look at it. And if you've got any questions, send them through on the live stream.
Yep.
And I'll answer everything. I've been getting a lot of questions about it, which is great. So I'm always happy to answer questions. Send them, tune into the live stream. That's the best way to do it. And ask me anything.
Fantastic. And so, Kings, you made a decision long ago to dedicate your life to gambling. I want to talk to you about other options you had in life. So if we look at the screen up now, talk to us about this photo. So this was sent in by Adam Hill,
one of the
legends on the Den. So I'm correct that that's you in front of the old mate in the shirt, right? The blue shirt, the old fellow, the coach or something, right?
Yeah, that's correct. That's Adam's dad at the back there, but he's an old teammate of mine. I'm second back row, second from the right. That would have been probably under 11s, I reckon, around there, under 11s, under 12s.
What was the name of the team?
The Gosford Townies.
Gosford Townies. I reckon by the look of the jumpers, like back then, you remember you'd got a jumper, but at the end of the year you had to give it back because the club kept them. They give them to the team
yeah,
the next year.
Yeah, that's right. What a great time in my life that was.
And if you hadn't chosen gambling, is there no doubt in your mind that you would be up there with Cameron Smith and have played 400 NRL games?
I peaked at about 8 years old, actually. Okay. So I don't know about that. But I was doing the maps then, even back then when I was eight. They'd all bunch around and I was fast. So I'd sprint around them and get two or three tries. I peaked at about eight. About nine, but by this stage I was on the way down, so no, I don't know where I'd be.
So you're content with your decision to choose gambling?
Yeah, I'm very content.
Now, I want to talk to you about your career in gambling. And so you've probably had dealings with, like, let's say 10,000 punters over the years, right?
Yeah.
And I asked you the other day, which punter stands out amongst all of them, who loves the game more than any of them, loves trying to set themselves up in life, live a flamboyant life like gambling. And who did you say that was?
Mark Reed.
Yeah. So after this show, I'm flying down to Melbourne and I'm doing some punter education with Mark Reed. I'm also going to do a podcast similar to one we did way back in the day. We're going to talk to him about his interpretation of Australia's biggest gamblers. Mm. So it's going to be a lot of fun. You can see him up there on the screen now. He's talking to John Tapp back in, I think this is from Wild World of Sports in 1993.
Mark's dedicated his life to gambling and form study. Mm. He's such a passionate form student. I'm pretty sick for betting and also improving, but he's on a different level. It's all he thinks about, and he's been super successful. I remember Mark out at the Randwick when I was 18, 19. He was bookmaking out at Randwick, and he'd go down the board and he'd auction off every runner. Mm. And very different to today, Mark's philosophy with bookmaking was he was offering a service, and his job was to facilitate the punter. Mm. So if you asked him to win 20,000, he'd go down the board. If he went 2-1 out to 5-2 and you said 8,000 on it, he'd take the 8,000 even though he didn't want it, and then he'd send his men and go and take all the 9-4, 3-20 back. Mm. So his job, he felt that the money had to come through him,
right?
Which is very different to today's bookmaking world. But geez, it was an exciting time.
Yeah. So I'll be down there doing that. Well prepared for it. He's a very unique talent, and yeah, looking forward to trying to get a lot of his pearls to then present to you guys. He has boiled it down to his 11 fundamentals. That's what he says he's always stuck by.
Fantastic.
And so we're going to go through that. And as a nice little feature, he also, when I was going through this research process with him, he uncovered I think it's 1991 he made this, and it's 11-minute long sort of punting tutorial. I think he might have made it for Sky Racing way back in the day. Anyway, he gave it to me, gave me permission to play it at the end of the Saturday set.
Sensational.
So I'm going to whack it on the end here. I think a lot of you people will enjoy it, especially people maybe from the older brigade. It'll take you back down memory lane. It's good fun. So we're going to play that at the end of this Saturday set, and I think that's about it. We're sort of ready to rock and roll. Don't forget our merch, best merch in the game. Go to wolfdenstore.win to buy it. Of course, you can go and get our AI memberships as well, $29.95 pack membership. Best deal in the game. I think we're done, right?
We'll see you in the live stream.
Yeah, live stream on Saturday. Be there. Thank you, Fizzer.
Thank you.
On you, mate. See you later. Cheers.
Reed Rating, the leading edge in thoroughbred rating systems. Reed Rating is the latest frontier in form assessment technology. It represents the culmination of 5 years research and development by the Mark Reed Racing Group at a cost of more than $3 million. Bookmaker Mark Reed is Australia's leading form analyst. It's no surprise, therefore, that his new generation form analysis system, Reed Rating, can legitimately lay claim to being the most advanced of its kind in the world. But how does it work? The first thing to understand is the work that goes into Reed Rating behind the scenes. And there's no one better to explain it than the man himself, Mark Reed.
Let me tell you about the development of Reed Rating. Really, Reed Rating had its origins 25 years ago. Yes, 25 years ago, I was involved in racing. At a very young age, my family were professionals in racing, busy running around the racetracks of Melbourne, professionally betting on racehorses to make their living. At that stage, I was taught about the physiology of racehorses, I was taught about their training methods, and I was taught all about how to win money by betting on racehorses. I continued on in the same vein until 6 or 7 years ago, where I became aware of the tremendous potential of computers in the analysis of race form. What I wanted to do was chart horses' performance in much the same way as the charters chart markets in bond trading, equity trading, futures, and the like. I thought that racing horses, because of their consistency, would provide an ideal medium for charting and therefore an easy application to investment analysis. The research and development took 5 years, and I spent $3 million in that period setting up these projects. I'm very happy with the product. The product's been tried, it's been tested. It was tried last year, in the spring of last year, with the Victor Chang Heart Foundation trade. We already told you how successful that was. $135,000 was made for the charity, representing 1,174% return on capital. Let me tell you about how I went about putting together the Mark Reed Racing Company to use this technology. The first thing I had to do was to gather around myself some trained professionals who had the ability, experience to use this modern technology. We now have that team together, and we are now able to cover all racing throughout Australia, whether it be in Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane or Adelaide. The Reed Rating product covers all those venues. The important issue was to find a common thread which, from which we could gather the information in one conceptual base, and from that base, pick what horse is going to win. This idea came to me in finding a performance threshold. That is, a certain level of performance for each grade of race, which would tell us which horse can win as opposed to those horses that couldn't win. This performance threshold actually is a basis on which we pick the horses that will appear on your Reed Rating screen. These are the winning chances. That is, they are the horses that have in the past achieved the level of performance required to win tomorrow's race, or alternatively, have the potential to reach that level. That's the theory. For Reed Rating, we simplify this process to give you the bottom line by expressing a horse's winning chance as a dividend to a dollar. We call this the Reed Rating Dividend, or RR Dividend for short. In this screen, you see how Reed Rating will be displayed. On the left, you have the TAB number, followed by the names of the winning chances, followed by their RR Dividend. Remember, the RR Dividend is a horse's assessed chance in the race, expressed as a dividend to $1. The track sign, whether it be fast, good, dead, slow or heavy, is a condition under which we have rated this meeting. If there is an unexpected change, the sign will flash repeatedly with the words check track.
Now the important part. How do you use Reed Rating to make money at racing? According to Mark Reed, it really is as easy as 1, 2, 3.
Let me explain to you the relevance and importance of the Reed Rating Dividend. The simple analogy is a chap who wants to bet on throwing a head by flipping a coin. If that chap wants to take even money about himself, at the end of the day, no one's going to win. However, if he wants to take 6 to 4 on himself, meaning that he will bet $6 to win 4 about throwing a head, certainly you're going to bet him. We all know that guy over a period of time is going to go broke. The same way, if you keep taking 2 to 1 about a horse whose real chance of winning is 3 to 1, you'll also go broke. That horse may win plenty of races, but at the same time, it's not value. The Reed Rating product is unique. Not only does it give you the winning chances, but it also gives you the true probability of that horse winning. Therefore, you are able to, using our resource, to make informed investment decisions. There are plenty of people in racing today who are good winner backers. That is, they can pick the horses most likely to win. Everyone in the market is trying to do that. But who amongst those people can give you the true value of that horse winning? And this is the secret between winning and losing. This, then, is rule number one. To win at racing, you must get value. Rule two is just as important. Keep an open mind. Remember how many supposed good things get beaten every year. Open your mind to the prospects of all winning chances in a race. Our surveys prove that the winning chances in Reed Rating will provide the winners approximately 65% of the time. Rule three is imperative. Adopt a system for staking your bets and follow it consistently. Reed Rating has printed three systems. These are available on cards at your Reed Rating outlet. You may choose to use another system entirely. The choice is yours. But whatever betting system or strategy you use, be consistent in your application of it. Otherwise, you are literally asking for losses. All our research and surveying has led us to three golden rules. The first is flexibility. As you'll notice, that in Reed rating, we often pick between 2 and 5 horses per race. That is, we don't really believe that we can pick the winner in 1 or 2 every time. You must retain flexibility. You must look at the market and take the value. Flexibility means not confining yourself to having 1 bet in each race on 1 horse. Sometimes you'll be required to back as many as 5 horses in the 1 race. This may sound a bit strange, but we've proven this is a way to win. The second golden rule is that you must get value. We've made this very simple for you. On the Reed rating screen, not only are the winning chances there, but also we've calculated the true probability of these horses winning as expressed by the Reed rating dividend. Now, if the tote screen is going to return you less than the Reed rating dividend, I suggest you pass that horse up. There'll be plenty of horses in each race which will give you a value dividend. And if you follow these horses, you'll make a profit. The third golden rule is to be completely consistent and follow a system. In any enterprise today, a game plan is of paramount importance. We know from our surveying that the Reed rating system can make you a winner. The information's there for your use, but it won't work unless you're consistent in its application.
Simple, isn't it? Too simple? Not at all. Most brilliant ideas are simple. The major difference between winning punters and losing punters is that winning punters generally have better habits. Mark Reed has those winning habits, as his rival bookmakers testify.
He'd be one of the cleverest punters I've ever had, and the most successful, because he wins consistently.
Mark spends a lot of money on technology. His computer is probably state-of-the-art type of affair. It's very, very hard to beat.
With his experience, he's been at it a long while, and his ratings are very good, and he's very good at his profession.
Most other bigger punters can come and go, they say, but Reed has sort of always been very, very successful in this 25 years of betting, so that makes it an enigma in Australian punting.
The fact that Mark has stood the test of time, I'd want to be on Mark rather than Mr. Average.
There's no doubt he is consistent, he's improved his methods, and would be winning for sure.
And don't forget, Reed rating is based on the same system that turned $50,000 into $185,000 on behalf of the Victor Chang Spring Trade in the spring of 1991. That's a massive 1,174% annualized return on investment. Does Reed rating work? You bet it does. Mark Reed is committed to keeping Reed rating the leading edge in thoroughbred rating systems. Consequently, all his research and development information will be incorporated into the service as soon as it's suitably surveyed and tested. Meantime, good luck and good punting.